And I'm thankful for you being here tonight, even though you know I was preaching tonight, so I guess that's a good news. I didn't run everybody off this morning when Pastor let you know that I would be preaching tonight. But Proverbs chapter number 22, in verse number 6, the Bible says this, and we're going to just focus on this one verse and then launch out from there. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." In the day and age in which we live today, education is a priority for most people. We send our kids to school. We even try to, if we can, help them get through college. And we ourselves will go through training courses and move to better educate ourselves so that we can get a better position or a better pay, all in the hopes of living life with some comfort and with some stability for our families. Our parents are constantly getting on children, and our grandparents sometimes even getting on their grandkids to study hard, to learn all you can while you're in school, to try your best and do your best, and they should, because education is important. We live in a world to some degree that education determines the doors that will open and close for you in your life. The fact is, I hated it growing up, but the fact is a college education will open more doors than a high school education will for you in many cases. And if we think about it, I think we can all agree that education is important. None of us would want to go see a doctor or a surgeon who never graduated from medical school. None of us would go to a butcher or to a vet to have surgery performed on our arm or our leg. None of us would get on a plane that was being flown by a man who had never flown a plane before. If we were to right now go over to Charlotte Airport and take a trip to Hawaii, which is the Goodsman's favorite place and one of my favorites too, and we were all to go to Charlotte Airport and we were to walk on a plane and hear the flight attendant say to the pilot, "Good luck on your first flight," we would probably all turn back around and get off of that plane. And if we didn't, if you died, we would not feel sorry for you because that's your fault. And I think we can all agree at some level and in some way, we understand that education is important. It's why people spend thousands of dollars every year on college and on books. It's why certain people, families will try do all they can to move to a certain neighborhood or a certain area just to get their kids into that school district. Because education is important. But I want to ask you a question tonight. Who should be educating our kids, and what should our kids be learning? This is a question recently I've been thinking a lot about. Over the course of everything going on in our country and over the course of my studies, I've been asking myself this question over and over again. As many of you know, I grew up in the public school system. I got a good education. I made friends. I got to play sports and as you can tell, I did not ruin my life by going to public school. And for most of my life growing up, and my wife can attest when we first met, I was bound and determined to put my kids in the public schools. It worked out well for me, so why wouldn't it work out well for them? It's free, why not take advantage of it? And up until recently, that was still my position. But now I've kind of shifted from that. I might do something I never thought I would ever do, and I told my wife the other day, I might have to homeschool our kids. I might have to put them in a Christian school somewhere, and that's something I never thought I would ever say in my life. Sometimes I like to make fun of the homeschool kids just because, but there's nothing wrong with that. Them, they get a solid education also. And God's been working on my heart on when I have children, which I don't know how soon that will be, but what am I going to do with them in their education? And so I've been juggling these things, and God has also laid on my heart to, if it be his will, I've been praying about it, maybe one day, if I'm a pastor of a church somewhere, maybe one day starting a Christian school, if that's be his will. I don't know if that's his will, what time will tell, but maybe one day starting it, because I believe with my whole heart that education matters. Yeah. Unfortunately, today in public schools all across America, kids are being taught that the Bible is not real or true. They're being taught that God does not exist and that, in fact, the world was not created by God, but that the world evolved from nothing and that we came from monkeys. That's nothing new. That's been taught for a long time. Kids today in middle schools and high school are going to classes called sex ed, which was a thing when I was in school. And what they teach in these classes, their goal of these classes is not to teach abstinence, is not to teach to wait towards marriage. Their goal in these classes is to teach safe sex. What they do, and I can attest from personal knowledge, is they will pass around condoms and talk about birth control in these classes. And instead of encouraging kids to wait, instead of encouraging kids to refrain from sexual activities till they're married, what they do is just say, do it safely. Children are being taught now, and this was not the case when I was in school, but they're being taught now that there are many genders. The gender that you're born with, or the given gender at your birth, is not necessarily the gender you're meant to be. And now, at any given time, if you feel like it, you can change your gender. And they call it gender fluidity. They are being taught that homosexuality is an okay lifestyle and something that should be praised. Unfortunately, even Disney Channel today, so a place that is sacred in my life because I love Disney. I love going to Disney World. I get that from my mom. But even Disney Channel, who's supposed to be kid-friendly, who's supposed to be uplifting, who's supposed to be promoting good values to our kids, are unfortunately in their TV shows and in their advertising gearing their shows toward desensitizing and normalizing ungodly lifestyles to our kids. Children are being taught all across America in the school systems that America is systematically racist and that it was built by evil people and white supremacists. And I can remember even in my junior and senior year of high school, this philosophy starting to creep in, where I would have history teachers and English teachers teach us that our founders were not good moral people and that America was not the great country we thought it was. And to be honest, some of them would flat out say that. Others would simply imply it by what they were teaching us. And I'm not going to lie, our founders were not perfect. They made mistakes just like everybody else. It is true that they had mistakes and had flaws about their character. It's also equally true that throughout America's history, there have been injustices that needed to be fixed. Things that are a blot on our history that should have never happened but did. But it's equally true that today America is still the greatest country on earth. And while there were injustices, while there were things that needed to be fixed, men and women from every culture and every background and every race and every language rose up and met those challenges and fixed it. I get a kick, me and my brother actually get a kick out of people like Colin Kaepernick and others who claim that this country is racist, who try to teach everybody they can that this country is against them, that this country works against them, but at the same time, they make more money than most people on earth, including this country. It cracks me up sometimes how could they hold them back, but they make more money than I'll probably see in my entire life. They lecture, and there's people today in our school systems that lecture and condemn America, but they praise people like Fidel Castro, who murdered his own people. People that are teaching our kids today will celebrate Independence Day in other countries, such as Ghana. Colin Kaepernick was one of them, and he wrote this: how can we truly celebrate independence on a day that intentionally robbed our ancestors of theirs? To celebrate my independence, I went home, referring to Ghana. And it cracks me up. It kind of makes me laugh because in order to have this view, in order to teach this, they have to overlook the progress that we have made in America. And they also have to overlook the injustices still going on in the countries they claim are morally superior. Amen. In an article entitled The History of Indigenous Slavery in Ghana, written in August 4, 2019, the author wrote this: too often some Guananese think and speak as though the Africans were the only people who were enslaved. The reality is far from that perception, since it is a fact that Africans also practiced slavery. Not only on their own people as victims, but Africans also owned white and other ethnic groups as slaves over the centuries. As Ghana celebrates emancipation in this year, 2019, what is of greater importance is the phenomenon of modern slavery and the urgent need to ensure that slavery in any form must not be tolerated. Indigenous slavery in Ghana ended a long time ago, but in Ghana, there are some indigenous individuals and others, including refugees from Venezuela,
young girls in particular, who are enslaved by employers who subject them as sex workers, and trafficking in persons is still a form of slavery that must be stopped. But yet, Colin Kaepernick and many of our liberal friends don't want to talk about that. If they truly cared about injustices, if they truly cared about people, they would be doing everything they could to fix the injustices going on right now, but all they want to talk about is the just injustices that happened long ago that were already fixed. Because you see, fixing injustices now doesn't benefit their pockets, doesn't benefit them. Only talking about the past and blaming others. And it seems to me that our kids are being taught in school that skin color is the most important feature about them. Instead of being taught the dream that Martin Luther King had, that children should not be judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. But today, everywhere we see, even in our president's cabinet picks, the only thing that matters to them is what color your skin is. If you are white, you're naturally evil and racist. If you're black, you're naturally good and moral and a victim of racism. I saw a TV ad the other day, and it kind of shocked me that when I watched it. I don't know why it shouldn't shock me, but it did. And it said this: black is power, black is culture, black is unique, black is everything. Now switch that to white, and you'd have a field day with the media. But yet that's what they're teaching now. NBA players are wearing shirts on the bench that say "Built by Black History." But the fact of the matter is this. America was a country built by both blacks, whites, Asians, Mexicans, Latinos, Native Americans, and people from every nation and every race built this country. Without all of our history, this country ceases to be the country it was, or it is. They seemingly forget the fact that it was white people who fought a war to end slavery. They seem to reason that away, and the reason that these injustices were stood up against, the reason why people of every race stood up to oppose them, was because they believed in the founding principles that were rooted in Judeo-Christian values, that all men and women are created equal and endowed by their creator, that is to say by God, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And what our children need to be taught today, what our children need to learn today, is not liberal ideology, it's not Marxism, it's not propaganda. What they need to learn today is the Bible. David said, "I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation," Psalm 119:99. And I firmly believe that it is God's word that is the most important for children to learn. It was Reverend John Witherspoon, an early president of Princeton, one of this nation's most prestigious schools, who said this: "Cursed be all learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ." And I believe that the Bible is a vital part of any education. And so tonight, what I would like to do in the moments we have is speak to you about the responsibility and the importance of Christian education. Number one, Christian education is first and foremost the parent's responsibility. If you'll flip over with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. In verse 4, the Bible says this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these are the words which I command thee this day that shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." God clearly teaches that parents are to diligently teach their children. We find here in Deuteronomy that parents are commanded by God to be involved in and to understand the academic and spiritual development of their children. Unfortunately, today, the sad reality is many parents have checked out of that responsibility. They forfeited that responsibility because they don't care enough to be involved. There are those parents who know very little about their kids. They don't know who their friends are. They don't know what they're being taught at school. They don't know where they go. They don't know what they do. They don't know what they're involved in. They don't know who their teachers are. They don't know who their principals are. They know nothing about their kids' lives, and they forfeited all chance of teaching their kids, and they pawn it off on somebody else. There are other parents today who are on the other end of the spectrum. They are extremely involved in their kids' lives. And they parent in such a way in which their kids are not allowed to learn from anybody besides them. They don't want them hanging out with friends. They don't want them watching TV. They don't want them watching movies. They don't want them going anywhere. They don't want them learning from anybody but them. And while boundaries are good, boundaries can sometimes be counterproductive. Sometimes you need somebody else to help teach. Sometimes the kids can learn some valuable life lessons from learning from somebody other than just the parents. We'll get into this a little deeper later on, but parents, you need to understand that first, Christian education is your responsibility, but secondly, God gave it to the church. It's also the church's responsibility. And may I say, it is beneficial for you to let your kids go to Sunday school. It is beneficial for you to let your kids go to Master Club and to be in the teen group and to go on teen activities and to go on youth activities and go to youth camp. And yes, they're away from you. And yes, you can't control everything, little thing they do. And yes, you cannot control who they talk to at camp. But may I just say this, they're in an environment of like-mindedness and they can learn sometimes far more from other people than they could from just you. I grew up in a Christian home. Many of you know this. And my parents loved God, they loved each other, and they loved us. And I can honestly say everything I know, or most everything I know, and the reason why I'm serving God today is because of my parents. They taught me everything I know and believe. And they were involved in my life everywhere I went. They needed to know where I was going. They needed to know who my friends were. They needed to know what I was learning. They would ask me every day when I got home from school, what were you learning? And it wasn't just because that's what they do. They really wanted to know what we were learning. And they were involved in mine and my brother's life, and I can say with the utmost certainty that if it was not for my parents' involvement in my life, if it was not for their upbringing and their training, I would not be serving God today. I would have made a mess of my life and ruined it. And I'm thankful today that I had parents that cared enough to be involved and to train me. Now listen, kids aren't going to like it. Kids aren't going to like you being on their case. Kids aren't going to like it. And some of the teenagers are looking at me right now. Please, just be quiet. But they're not going to like it. I hated it growing up. I hated my parents always having to know everything about me. I hated my parents always having to know where I was going, always having to know what I was looking at, always had to know what I was doing, always had to know what I was listening to. It bothered me. It frustrated me. I would get mad. We'd get in physical like arguments because of it. But listen, I can honestly say that without that, my life would be completely different. My parents saved my life by being involved in my life. And I'm thankful for godly parents who were able to invest in my life and train me and not give up on me even though I was a pain in the neck. And what we need is parents today who say, I know my kids are going to be mad at me. I know my kids might not like it. I know they might argue at me, but I'm going to do it because it's for their good. It's not your job, parent, to be your teens or your kids' best friend. It's your job to be their parent and to train them. God has given you that responsibility. But I can also say that my parents didn't raise me alone. They also had help. Sunday school teachers, Master Club workers, junior church teachers, youth pastors, pastor, and camp speakers played a vital role in my life. Camp speakers like Jim Shetler reached me in a way that my parents could not reach me. And without all of them working together as a team, my life would not be in the place it was today, and that's by God's design. For parents and the church to partner together and to train the children. But yet, let me say again, first and foremost, parents, it's your responsibility. Many parents today will send their kids to church. They'll send their kids to a Christian school, maybe. They'll even send them to school, but they neglect to teach them themselves. They expect the schools to do the training. They expect the churches and the youth pastors and the Sunday school workers to train their kids for them. When their kids do disobey, when their kids misbehave, when their kids fall into sin, when their kids no longer want to go to church, when their kids no longer love God or want to live for God, they blame the church. They blame the schools. And they say, it's your fault. You didn't raise my kids right. But let me just say this. If you think, parents, for 1 minute that you can send your kids to church and you can send them to school, but you can skip out and you don't read your Bible at home and you don't pray at home and you cuss at home and you watch ungodly shows at home and you never speak of God at home, but you think your kid's going to turn out for God, you're sadly mistaken. People do what people see, and children do what they see their parents do and their grandparents do. And it's vital today, what kids need most of all is for parents and for grandparents to live what they preach, because they can spot a hypocrite. You can tell your children all you want that church is important. You can tell them that God's real and that the Bible matters, but if they don't see it in your life, if they don't see you on fire for God, if they don't see you wanting to serve God, if they don't see you reading the Bible or praying at home or talking about the things of God, if all they do is see you ranting about how you don't like this or you wish this could be better or how you're just too tired and you don't want to come to church, if that's all they see, good luck trying to get them to turn out for God, because they're following your example. It's vital that you live what you preach. Now, let me just say this. I'm not saying that if your kid does not turn out to love God, that means your spiritual life is not what it should be. There are plenty of cases where parents do everything right. They come to church, they read the Bible, they pray, they talk with their kids about spiritual things, they're involved in their kid's life, and yet the kid still decides to go his own path. That does not mean you were a bad parent. It does not mean that you didn't do your job. They still have free will also. There are other cases where the parents did nothing right. They weren't involved. They didn't go to church. They didn't love God. They didn't care about God. But yet the kid comes on a bus and gets saved and hear the word of God preached and lives the rest of their life on fire for God. And so I'm not saying the way you parent will determine exactly how your kid turns out, but I'm simply saying this. Give me a home where parents live what they preach and where parents preach the word of God at home and where parents teach the word of God and when parents are involved in their kid's life, and I'll show you a kid that has a better chance of turning out for God because they have a more solid foundation on which God can build. Parents, it's vital tonight that you understand that it's God's plan that you would be involved in the education process of your children. That you would teach them at the home, that God in the Bible would be prevalent in your home, and that you would read it, and that you would talk about it, and that you would live it in your life. Because without that, you're setting your kid up for failure. It is first and foremost your responsibility to educate your children. But then number two, it is the church's responsibility to educate children. If you'll flip over with me to Matthew chapter number 28, in verse 19, the Bible says this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." This is what we know as the Great Commission, and God gave it to the church before he left and ascended back up into heaven after his resurrection. And this is a passage of Scripture that most of the time we bottle into missions and outreach. During the month of November, this verse will be read numerous times. And missionaries will stand behind this pulpit and tell you about the importance of missions and how you need to support your missionaries and how we need to go evangelize the world and reach the world with the gospel. And that's true. It is important that we support missionaries. It is important that we reach our neighbors. It is important that we reach out with the gospel. But may I just say, the first and foremost ministry of importance at this church or any church is the ministry to the children. People today, sometimes in churches, think that Sunday school workers and junior church workers and master club workers are just there to fill time, to entertain our kids, to keep them entertained while myself or pastor do the important job of teaching the adults. But can I say this? There's nothing farther from the truth. The Sunday school teacher's job is not to entertain. The master club worker's job is not to just keep them busy with some fun games. We want them to enjoy church. We want them to have fun. But your first and foremost priority is to make sure you teach the children the scriptures. That's what's going to help them. We need a good leader. We need a good pastor. Being a pastor is important. You need a solid pastor to lead your church. Because at, like any leader in any sphere, the church or will follow their leader. They will follow his attitude. They will follow his vision. They will follow his spirit. They will reflect that in any case. And so it's important that your pastor has a good vision. It's important that your pastor has the right spirit. It's important that you have a pastor who loves the Lord and stands on God's word like we have. But it's equally important that we have teachers and Sunday school workers that love the Lord and walk with God just the same. We need both. They are both vitally important. Teachers, you must teach them God's word. Kids should be learning about salvation. At an early age, they should be learning what salvation means. Kids should be learning about race. That's all we hear now, but they should be learning it at the church. Not in the schools, not on the TV shows, but in the church. And you know what the Bible teaches about race? It teaches that there's only one race, the human race. We all stem back, no matter the color of your skin, no matter what language you speak, we all stem back to Noah and his three sons on the ark. And if you want to go back farther, we stem to Adam and Eve. And so when you look at your neighbors, when you look at them, they're relatives of yours, just not close. And you want to know why we speak different languages? I'll take you to the Tower of Babel, where God confused the languages and made them spread out through all the earth. And so the Bible clearly teaches there is no race. There's cultural differences, but there is no race. There is one race, the human race, and our kids need to learn that here because they're not going to learn it somewhere else. Our kids need to learn what sin is and the consequences of sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. All the pain, all the suffering, all the injustices in our world comes from sin, comes from Adam and Eve's pride of eating of the fruit and our choice to sin. And our kids need to learn that in the Sunday school classes. They need to learn that because of sin, God sent his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it's our job as a church to teach the children that. They need to understand that. And it's important that we teach the biblical principles. You want to know why we should teach kids to respect and honor authority? It's not because we're conservatives. It's not because we're Republicans. Listen, if all you've done in your life is raise your kids to have conservative principles or to vote Republican, that's fine because I believe those principles are good for freedom. But listen, that's not going to help them. There are conservatives that are going to die and go to hell. Being conservatives is not the important part. Being a Christian is the important part. And so we need to train them to love God with their whole heart and their whole soul and their whole mind. I don't care who they voted for. I mean, I do because it affects my life, but I really don't. I just care, do they know Jesus as their Savior? That's what matters. We don't teach them these things based off of who we vote for, and we don't teach them these things based off of what our ideology is. And we definitely don't teach them because we're American. We teach them because the Bible teaches them. And because the Bible is God's word, and therefore it is true. The Bible says we are to honor and respect those that have rule over us, and that includes parents, teachers, police officers, and even politicians. We're supposed to pray for them, pray for our leaders, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives. We are to, children, obey your parents and honor God, and the Bible teaches that we are all created in God's image. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so God created man in his image. Male and female created he them. God created a world, and our kids need to learn that. It's important to also understand, though, that the church is not to usurp the authority of a parent. It's not our job as Sunday school teachers or church members to parent the kids. That's the parents' job. We're not here to be their parents. We're here to simply support the home and to uplift the home and to stand with the home. And we do that by striving to be a place that helps teach our children biblical principles. 1 Timothy 3:15 says this, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of God, the living, or of church of the living God, the pillar in the ground of truth. And Sunday school workers, church members, master club workers, understand this. Your job is to be the pillar and the ground of truth for every kid that walks through those doors. Because they're not going to get that anywhere else. It's the church's job to lay the pillar and the ground of truth. So it's not enough to just wing it. It's not enough just to rub it off. It's not enough to do it half-heartedly. We ought to strive as a church to be a church that gives our all to educating to the children and gives our all to the Lord, because we are the pillar and the ground of truth, and without us, it all comes crashing down. And so we have a vital role to play. Don't neglect it. Number three, I want you to understand this, the responsibility of those who delegate education. Nowhere in the Bible do we find that the government is given the responsibility to educate our children. It wasn't one of their roles. It wasn't something God necessarily told them to do. But that being said, I am not a believer that public school education is wrong or sinful. Obviously, I went there. I graduated from public school. I played sports, like I said, and so I really don't like the pastors who stand up here, and they are good-hearted and meaningful, but I don't like when I hear people say that if you put your kids in the public school, God's never going to bless them, and they're never going to turn out right, and you were wrong and sinful for doing that. Because I don't believe that's true. I don't even really like it when they say that Christian school is a better environment, because I went to a Christian school and there was people that were just as bad as the public school kids when I went to Bible college. And that was Bible college. They're all supposed to love the Lord. And my life is proof that public school and Christian school, it's not too far different. And so I don't believe that you're wrong for sending your kids to public school. Because I graduated from there and I love the Lord and I want, but there are definitely pros and cons of both. And that's a decision that I can't make for you and that pastor can't make for you. That's a decision you have to make with your family. If you're going to homeschool them, if you're going to keep them in Christian school, or if you're going to send them to public school, you have to make that decision on your own by looking in God's word. But that being said, I do still think when you delegate, there are some responsibilities that the Bible teaches that you still have to follow. It's important, parents, that no matter where you send your kids, Christian or public, that you still stay involved in the education process of your children. While you may not be directly teaching them math or science or history or English or whatever, you are still to know and to keep up with what they're being taught and who they're hanging out with. And who is influencing them. It's no secret that public school teach evolution. It's no secret that they teach safe sex. It's no secret that they teach homosexuality is okay. But more recently, and this is why I've changed my tune on the public school, they've been teaching children at the first, second, and sometimes third, and even kindergarten age, that if they come from a good home, or white or conservative, or if their parents voted for Trump, that they are privileged and must repent of that privilege. I read the other day that a public school in California recently instructed third grade students to deconstruct their racial and social identities in order to understand power and privilege. According to the Discovery Institute, the school in San Jose, California held a lesson on social identities during a math class for third graders. The students were asked by the teacher to list their race, their class, their gender, their religion, and their family structure on an identity map. The teacher then began a lesson with a slide entitled Dominant Culture, and then students were told to circle the identities that hold power and privilege on their maps. These identities include, but were not limited to, white, male, middle class, educated, able-bodied, and Christian individuals. And they were being taught that these qualities make you a bad person. These qualities make you a privileged person. Other school districts and other states, such as New York, have been reported to divide their students in a class based off their skin color. They would send the white kids to a class where they would listen to lectures on their privilege and be made to feel ashamed of their culture and be made to feel ashamed of being white and be made to feel bad for it, while taking the black kids to another class in which they were told to be proud of their black color and to be proud of their heritage and to be proud of who they are, and they would receive treats and awards that the white kids never got. In Philadelphia, fifth grade students were forced to celebrate black communism and simulate a black power rally in honor of Angela Davis. According to a report, students were asked to describe Davis' early life and reflect her vision of social change and define communism, presumably in a favorable manner. At the end of the class, students were then led to the auditorium where they simulated a black power rally to free Angela Davis from prison, where she had been held on charges of kidnap, murder, and conspiracy. The kids were up on the stage, and the students marched holding signs that said, "Black power, jail Trump, free Angela, black power matters," and they chanted about Africa and ancestral power and shouted, "Free Angela, free Angela." And the sad reality is, unfortunately, schools today are no longer concerned with educating our kids. They are only concerned with pushing their ideology and their political propaganda on our children. And as parents, if you're going to delegate, if you're going to choose to send your kids to public school, if you're going to choose to send your kids even to Christian school, you must be aware of what they're being taught, be aware of the curriculum that they're teaching them, and it is your job to make sure that any curriculum that does not line up with the Word of God is corrected, or you pull that kid out of that school because you are the last defense for your kid. And it is our job as a church, and it is our job as parents to make sure that instead of dividing people by color, instead of dividing people by ideologies, what we do is bring people together through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter what class you're in. I don't care if you're lower class, middle class, upper class. I don't care if you're white, black, Asian, Mexican, whatever your race is. I don't care. Because God created us all in His image, and we are all special to Him, and He loves us all, and we all need a Savior. The rest does not matter. And parents who delegate need to be careful of what their kids are learning. They also need to be careful who their children are learning from. Psalms 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And you know, unfortunately, teachers today are scornful. Unfortunately, today, teachers today live ungodly lifestyles. And parents, it's your job, if you're going to delegate education to someone else, that you make sure your children learn from the right people and are influenced by the right people. It's also your job, it's your responsibility to make sure your children stay away from ungodly, sinful, and scornful friends. Because friends are going to impact your life greater than most people ever will. I had friends growing up that when they were around me and my brothers, they were fine. When they were around us, they were good. They were good kids. They were smart kids. They had a bright future. But when they got around the wrong crowd, when they got around the wrong friends, they made poor choices that ended up affecting the rest of their life. Even to this day, I have a friend that died at age 22, shot in the chest by his cousin. He was a good kid. We played on a football team together. He was a smart kid. He graduated from high school. He had a bright future in front of him, but he chose to hang out with the wrong kind of people, got messed up in the wrong kind of stuff, and he ended up dead at 22. And so, parents, it's important that you understand who your friends are, or friends of your kids are, and you make sure they're the right friends. And then you must also be careful of the standard of education. I read another report that schools in Illinois, and it's not just Illinois, but that's the report I read, only 30% of third graders demonstrate grade level proficiency in English and language arts, and only 41% in math. And this is a statistic that's not just for that state, it's a trend throughout our country. And they're changing the standards to be, instead of merit-based, they're equity-based, which just means basically what you believe and what you look like, that grants you an education and a diploma. Doesn't matter about your merit or if you earned it. I heard from a grandparent the other day that told me kids no longer have to memorize timetables, which is something I hated in school, but it was beneficial for me. And when they asked the kid why they were using a chart instead of memorizing the tables and doing their times tables, the kid responded, "Well, my teacher just said it was too stressful for me." And too stressful for us. And so we no longer have to memorize times tables. And the sad reality is our kids are not learning at the level they need to be learning anymore. We have high school students that graduate who can't even read in some cases. And the teachers know about it, the teachers understand, but they pass them through anyway because they don't want to hold them back because that's racist or that's not fair or that's not good. But I'll tell you what's not fair. Passing a kid through that doesn't know what he's supposed to know to get through. You're not setting that kid up for success. You're setting them up for failure. Our school systems has failed our kids by this philosophy that you just, everybody gets a participation trophy. The result is a dumbed-down culture and kids who have been failed by their system. Parents, it's your job to make sure that the standards in your kids' life stay elevated. They don't come down to the culture standard. They stay elevated. And that they learn the basics so that they can be prepared for life. And then fourthly, and I'll close with this, and I'll be done. I want you to understand the importance of Christian education. It's parents' responsibility, it's the church's responsibility, and if you delegate, there are responsibilities on you for delegating, but finally, the importance of Christian education. Abraham Lincoln once said this, "The philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next." And that's exactly what we're seeing right now. For years, we have allowed our schools to be staffed by mainly scornful people who do not believe in God and who hate God's word. We have allowed the school systems to be staffed by liberal ideology who hate this country and do not believe in its founding documents. And it's no wonder why we're in the mess we are in today as a country. And the result of these school systems having been staffed by those people has been a whole generation who does not love God, who does not believe God's words, who believes they have evolved, and who believes this country is evil. And they shape the future. Colleges across this country ridicule Christian beliefs and conservative views and try to sow doubt and promote ungodly lifestyles and views, and now our government is hard at work trying to do the same at the high school and the elementary school levels. And the reason why they're working so hard, the reason why they're pushing so hard is because they understand that whoever controls education controls the future. The reason education is important is because whatever you're taught determines the future of your life. And so now it's time for the church to take back education and for parents to take back education and teach conservative Christian viewpoints once again. If we are to turn this country back to God like we want, if we are to see freedom reign, if we want to end corruption, we must teach our children the Bible. And if parents, if you want your kids to live godly lifestyles, if you want your kids to do what's right, if you want your kids to go to heaven, if you want your kids to stand on this word, you must get involved in their life and their education. You must make the Bible priority and the Lord central to all learning, and let the church partner with you to help you train them. And if you delegate, be careful of who they listen to, be careful of who they learn from, be careful of who they hang out with, and any unbiblical line of thinking, anything that runs contrary to this book, correct it. Keep their standards high. And if you do that, if you get involved, if you let the church help, if you keep the standard high, I promise you, when they are old, they will not depart from it. Ms. Gwen will come play a verse of invitation. And I just ask parents today, if you've been neglecting in some areas, to just make that right with God and make it your priority to educate your children.